I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Matthew Pollard, the Rapid Growth Guy. With five multi-million dollar business success stories to his name and a prestigious Young Achiever Award, Matthew has been characterized as a true differentiation, niche marketing, and sales systemization powerhouse. Matthew is a recurring guest on Fox 7's Good Day Austin, as well as a featured contributor to CEO, Entrepreneur, and Top Sales World magazine. He's also a sought-after judge at many of America's most prominent startup events, including Google Startup Weekend, Angel Hack, and Microsoft's 60 Seconds to Startup. Although he's in Austin now, he's not originally from Austin, and he also has a top-rated iTunes podcast, Better Business Coach. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, David. I'm happy to be here.
So why don't we start off by talking about this issue of rapid growth? I know it's an issue that many people who are entrepreneurs think about. What, in your mind, what is rapid growth?
Okay, so firstly, rapid growth can be whatever you want it to be. See, for some people, they have this worry about rapid growth because they want to stay small. For instance, I worked with a ghostwriter I started working with him in August last year. And for him, he didn't want to get lots and lots of staff. All he wanted to do was make sure that he was busy enough and could continually increase his prices. So that's what we worked on with him. With other people, they want to grow and have lots of additional staff and lots of additional offices. One of the major focuses that I have, though, is a lot of people tend to say, I want to have $1 million turnover, a $2 million turnover. And from my focus, I really want to make sure that it's profit that they're making. See, a lot of businesses will give up profit so that they can grow. So my goal is to make sure that the profit is coming in and the business value is growing.
Interesting. What's an example of a company that may have thought they were on the rapid growth trajectory, but they really weren't?
Well, I've worked with a manufacturing company in Australia a few years ago. And what was interesting was he had a $7.5 million business. Yet he was very excited about his turnover and he'd spent the last 10 years growing the business. So he was constantly bragging about the fact that his business was so large. Yet when he brought me in to consult for him, he was actually paying himself less than what the secretary in the front office was earning. And the reason for that is he would continually try and get more clients and grow and grow and grow, but there was so much leakage within his business. Now, what I mean by leakage is he had so many product defects that as a result, he had to keep going and fixing those, and that cost him profit. He had so many customer complaints, so therefore he had all of these issues that he had customer service agents handling. So there was a lot of money that he could have been making as profit there handling that. And the next thing he had was he was constantly hiring high-level staff to deal with the blockage that a high-level staff member was needed at for every additional customer they brought on. And the truth was that wouldn't have been needed if he had a systemized first. So a lot of times I get called in to help people with rapid growth. And what I end up helping them with first is creating the systems and processes to ensure that they are ready for rapid growth when it comes. Now, I must be honest with you that most of the time now I refer that out because predominantly where my key focus is absolutely on creating that rapid growth because it is so much fun and so easy to do. And what I find is while a lot of people can help get the systems and processes sorted so that the business is streamlined and ready, and what I do try to do is I do try to make sure that I send them to the right coach, but there is very little people that can actually help obtain that rapid growth cycle that so many businesses are looking for.
Why is it that so few people are able to attain that kind of rapid growth?
So I think there are two reasons. One is, well, the first one is that generally most people don't understand the necessity of both sales and marketing. But the problem also is that most people that specialize in marketing don't know much about sales. And most people that specialize in sales don't know much about marketing. There are very few people that have both of those competencies. And what I mean by that is a lot of people go and study marketing. They may do it in their MBA, and they learn things like data analysis and segmentation analysis and all the wonderful things that you learn when going and doing a marketing degree. The problem is they then go and work in a marketing department, but they've never actually been on the ground trying to sell a product. On the flip side, there are a lot of salespeople out there that know how to sell products, yet unfortunately, they've never been involved in the marketing. So they get given a price, they get given a brochure, and they get told what they're expected to sell, and they have to go out and do it. And whether that's a matter of just going door by door by door, or whether it's a matter of having a really great message and targeting key people, depending on what the marketers have told them, that's completely what their job is, not to think about how to do it. And as a matter of fact, I've actually worked with some high-level training organizations, sales franchises, that the truth is that they buy the franchise, now they've got all the ability and all of the worksheets to be able to train people on how to be better salespeople, but then they start marketing themselves and they undercharge themselves, they don't know what their unique message is because no one's given it to them. So the truth is that the marketers don't have the feet on the ground experience, and the salespeople don't know how to create the message, find the right niche, and how to package and price themselves. So there are very few people that have both, because no person that's done an MBA is generally going to go then and do door-to-door sales. And a lot of people, to be honest with you, sales is one of the highest paid positions that you can get. So there are very few people that then go back and study their MBA. I was lucky enough that I learned door-to-door sales at a very young age, because as a person with a horrible disability, I had a reading speed of a sixth grader growing up in high school, and this was late high school. And as a result, I didn't go straight to university. I got a job at a real estate agency trying to hide away. That place went broke just before Christmas, and I had to find a job really, really quickly. And all I could find was commission-only sales. It was 93 doors before my first sale. I definitely was not a person natural to be a salesperson, but I had no option. I learned how to sell, and I learned actually off YouTube through processes and systems. But I got myself up to a six-figure income. I did very, very well. And then later down, after I won what's called Australia's Young Achiever Award, Melbourne Young Achiever Award, I actually went back and got invited to do an MBA. And I then did all of my marketing. And as a result, I now understand things from both camps. And the truth is that where I get rapid growth from is I also understand that a lot of things on a small business level, you can't actually go and do all this data analysis. You've got to use best guess analysis. And what I've done is I've broken down the process for small business in a simplistic way where they don't have to pay fortunes to get their marketing right. They can just follow along with a very simple process.
Yeah, because in small businesses, generally, it's the business owner, at least up to a certain, when the business is up to a certain size, the business owner is the one who's doing all the marketing and all the sales.
Well, I can say generally it's the business owner not doing all of the marketing and all the sales, and that's the problem. So what happens is somebody has this great idea, and they go out and they start a business. Now, the truth is, they're probably fantastic at it because they have, over this period of 10 years, 20 years, honed their functional skill to be one of the best people in the state, in the nation, in the world. But the problem is that when they open a business, they need to do more than just that functional skill. They need to do their bookkeeping. They need to create manuals so that their staff that they start to take on know what they're doing. But more importantly than all of that, they've got to craft a message so that they separate themselves in a crowded market. I've worked with life coaches. I've worked with language schools. I'll give you an example of a language school that I worked with in California. And they were struggling to charge $50 to $80 an hour for private tuition on teaching people Mandarin. And they came to me with the problem that, why is it that with all these new entries into the market, I can't charge more than about $50 to $80 an hour? And my response was, well, you're trying to compete in a crowded market. Let's try and avoid the battle altogether. I got them to fill out what their goals were and what their customer avatar was, or their customer profile. And very quickly, I realized there were three customers that they were helping with more than just learning Mandarin. They were helping them with three other things. One was Galaxy, which isn't, you know, the outer space. What it is in the Eastern world or in China, they have a different way of developing rapport than in the Western world. In the Western world, we're very transactionary. We want to sit down and we want to sign a contract within an hour, 2 hours, a week at the most. in the Eastern world, they want to go out to dinner with you a few times, go out to karaoke, see you drunk singing karaoke songs to see what kind of character you really have. And a problem we've had is a lot of people have gone from the Western world, and there's a very specific story about, I believe it was Dell Computers that went over there, and after three meetings, the executive that was paid to fly over there and sell Dell Computers got upset with the Chinese government because they were still talking about how that his family was and not talking computers. And he asked if they could speak about what he was paid to come there to do. And very quickly, they listened to him, they escorted him out, and he was never welcomed back. So she taught them understanding this version of rapport called Galaxy. She also helped them understand the differences between e-commerce in the Western world and the Eastern world. And lastly, she helped them reduce their accent, because a lot of people in China like the respect of, not that they sound like they're natural-born Chinese, but they've made an attempt not to just learn the language, but learn the accent as well. And what I said to this girl, Wendy, was, Wendy, you're helping these people with so much more than just understanding Mandarin. But see, she was stuck in that functional skill. She couldn't understand what else she was doing. And I said, Wendy, you're helping these people become successful in China. And all of a sudden, she realized that that's what she was actually doing with these three people. And we rebranded her the China Success Institute. All of her people working for her became China Success Coaches. We created the China Success Intensive and linked in with some immigration agents, which, for people that haven't traveled out of the country, if you're going to China, you need to get a lawyer to organize a visa for you to go over there for a long period of time. And we linked in with those people, and they would say something as simple as, oh, you're going over to China, are you? You're an executive. How much training have you had to deal with the Chinese over there? None? Okay, I think you should talk to the China Success Coach. And just by them doing that, she was selling them a program. It was 5 weeks for $30,000. That's the difference between struggling to get $50 to $80 an hour to charging $30,000 and not even having to sell it herself anymore. And it was a 5-week program for the executive, the spouse, and any children. And the reason why the spouse and the children was because an executive going over there, it's fine if they're well-trained, but if the spouse and the children aren't also comfortable going to China, the executive is going to continually get called to problems at home. So we made sure that they were also comfortable and they were also ready to go to China. This program sells like hotcakes. And as a result, she now has no problems getting clients. As a matter of fact, she can't take on staff to cope with how fast she is growing. So she's actually saying, I only accept this many clients on a monthly basis. That's the difference that marketing makes. A lot of people, even if they're great at sales, the struggle they have is if the marketing message isn't right, then you're always going to be fighting to get every single customer, no matter how good you are. Where if you get the message right and you also learn sales, well, then you've got a rapid growth business.
Fascinating. Matthew, what reactions do most business owners have when they do achieve rapid growth?
Well, the first thing, luckily enough, I can actually say, and I've been able to say this for years, I have never worked with a client that has had a physical product or service that they deliver that hasn't received a return on investment by the completion of the first 3 sessions with me. Now, the truth is that the whole concept of rapid growth is a hard thing to fathom when you've been fighting and working hard just to survive for a period of years. But the truth is, it's completely possible. And what I find is people tend to spend, my website traffic is ridiculously big, and people spend a long time on my website because they consume my information to try and find what they're missing. And the truth is that rapid growth really isn't that difficult. It's just that people don't spend any time on it. When I ask people how long they spent learning their functional skill, they might say, I learned to be an accountant over 5 years, and then I went to a practice and studied for 10 before I went out to business for myself. If I ask people, perhaps a plumber or an electrician, they'll say, I went to trade school for a few years, then I was an apprentice, then I slowly graduated up to be my own business owner. If I ask people how much time they spent learning how to market and sell their business, they say, well, I went to a few networking events and that didn't really work for me. So I put a really expensive ad in the paper and that didn't work for me. So now my business is struggling. They spent no time actually crafting their message. So one of the things that I say is every business will benefit just by spending some time actually crafting their message. It can almost double their revenue overnight just by having a different message. And that's why on my website, if you opt into anything on my website, then you actually have the opportunity, you actually receive an email series from me that teaches you how to do it yourself. One of the things that I focused on and I've been doing for a long time is I've been very successful with my own businesses, and I only consult about 4 or 5 clients a month now. So what I try and do to keep my audience happy is I provide them all of the things they need so that they can do rapid growth themselves. And it's really possible. It comes down to just spending the time. And that's one of the hardest things with my clients, that they want to be constantly focused on going out and selling, and no time is spent on learning sales, or even worse, no time is spent on crafting the message so they have willing and wanting to buy customers, as opposed to clients they've got to push over the line, negotiate on price, and drag kicking and screaming to buy the products and services that they probably really get a lot of value out, but they don't even appreciate it after they get it because they don't know why they're supposed to have appreciated it, because the message was wrong at the start.
And what kind of reaction do you see in the people you work with once they do buckle down and spend the time learning how to create rapid growth and how to create a system around rapid growth? How do they feel?
So the first thing is they feel relieved, because a lot of people think that business is hard. They think that creating a business and working hard for yourself is like getting into the trenches and fighting a battle every single day. And all of a sudden they realize it's not hard, they've just been doing it wrong. So that simple transition is a relief, because a lot of these people have dedicated the last 12 months, 2 years, 5 years into building their business. They don't want to go home and say, hey family, I've decided I'm going to go back and get a job. But every single day working this hard, it's very tolling on them. So once they realize that they're in their own way, that's something that they can fix. There's a big difference between being at cause and being at effect. And being at effect is saying, well, the market's hard out there, business is hard out there, and I'm just doing what I can to survive. All of a sudden, they're at cause. They are the reason why they haven't obtained rapid growth. And all of a sudden, everything becomes possible. Within a very short period of time, a lot of my clients double their price tags, even though everyone else is charging half what they do, just because they've got a message that the right group of clients will listen to. And what I mean by that is, quite frequently, I grab the products and services my clients are working with and the busy market that they're trying to compete in and say, what about this small market over here? There's not enough room for many people, but there's plenty of room just for you, and you could make a lot of money out of this. And if you attach this thing that you do for your clients anyway, and that's the big thing. A lot of people are doing things for their clients that are outside the core competency that everybody's fighting for. And as a result, they can actually help one small market in a much better way. So the truth is, they get an easy relief. But secondly, they've got customers that are actually excited to buy off them, and they can get back because they used to love doing what they loved. Sorry, they used to love doing what they did, but now they've got to fight for every client. It's somehow not as fun, and it's just they feel like people don't appreciate them. All of a sudden, through rapid growth, it's easy to pick up clients again, but secondly, they feel that people are drawn to them and they want to buy off them. They feel like their work is getting appreciated again, and they start to love what they do. So the difference is boundless. It's because people got into business for themselves to have people appreciate them truly and to make great money. But secondly, they also have this wonderful experience of, wow, it really was that easy. And now it gives them the premise that anything else is possible, because they start to realize, and I think this is the same with sales, marketing, any other discipline, because sales is one of those things that people say you can't learn, you have to have the gift of the gab. As soon as you realize that any single process is learnable, then everything is possible.
Matthew, are there dangers associated with rapid growth?
100% there is. Lots of dangers, in fact. The truth is that rapid growth is one of the most dangerous periods for any business. And the reason for that is, as I said, people try and grow too soon. See, the one thing about rapid growth is if I increase your sales by 10 times, that also means that I've times by 10 your customer complaints, your customer defects, and any workloads that you have for key personnel. What I mean by that, is that for key personnel, let's say I'm the business owner and I have to do an hour's work for every customer that we have because I can't train my staff how to do those jobs. What that means is when I obtain rapid growth, let's say I'm at 90%, I'm 50% told right now. Now, if I times my business growth by 10 times, I now need 5 of me to be able to keep up with customer demand. I'm either going to become incredibly hardworking or die of a heart attack in the next 6 months. Or there's going to be some really upset customers. And that's what happens. You get rapid growth. All of a sudden, everyone gets upset that you don't deliver. Next thing, your business shrinks again. So the trick with rapid growth, firstly, is to control the growth if you've got key personnel that need to deliver certain products or services or certain functions within that delivery train. The next thing you need to do is see what you can do about taking those vital core members of staff or the business owner out of that process through systemization, through process design, through hiring other key staff that you can then teach and create a training methodology that allows the business owner to not be as required. This is hard for a lot of business owners that want to be hands-on, but the truth is for rapid growth, you've got to step back and systemize everything so that when you obtain it, you can handle that growth. Now, the other big factor here is customer complaints and product defects are vital that we handle first, because generally what happens is a business makes a 20%, 30% margin on the products or services that they do. Customer complaints and product defects tend to suck most of that out, and that's why you make such a small profit. So many business owners will come to me and say, I'm making very little money. That's why I need rapid growth. And the first thing I say is, show me how much money you're spending on customer service and time you're spending on customer service. Show me how much you're spending on wastage because of product defects. Those numbers are too big. If we don't fix that first, and because you suddenly get busy, those ratios go a little bit south, you're going to go broke obtaining rapid growth. So let's fix those first and then step into rapid growth.
Yeah. What kinds of plateaus do you see business owners hitting repeatedly?
Okay, so most business owners go out to business for themselves tend to make sure that they have a few clients before they start. See, what tends to happen is they work for another business owner, and then all of a sudden, they decide that that's it. They're getting paid the same as what everyone else is getting paid. They're working so much harder. They're so much better than everyone else. They've had enough. They're going out into business for themselves. Then they step out. But generally what they do is they have a couple of select customers or people they've already spoken to that would be interested in working with them. They may be friends. They may be people that were directly working with them in the last business. So when they step out, all of a sudden, they have customers. Now, they're very excited about their business at the initial stage, so maybe they speak to a few people as well. But then they've got that group of clients and they become entrenched in delivering their products and services to those customers. Now, for people that don't bring people on at all, that gets even harder and the survival rate is much, much less for those people. But what tends to happen is they've got this small group of clients and their business is quite successful at the start because they're delivering the services to those groups of people. Unfortunately, then what happens is that one of those customers goes broke or decides to go somewhere else or a technology change in their business or gets bought out, and all of a sudden they lose one of their major customers and now they don't have enough clients. What then happens is they start to freak out because they don't know how they went about getting clients. They try networking, they try advertising, and they say none of this is working. So the truth is that they were stagnant the entire time. It seems like growth, but they actually just moved clients over. They never obtained new clients. And then when their business has a problem, then all of a sudden we start to get a reduction in business. And those are very, very common within business because people aren't used to marketing, creating that marketing message and bringing cost customers to them or selling, converting them back into dollars into their bank. What needs to be done at that point is, or at any point, is focusing on that marketing and the marketing unified message, differentiating themselves from the competitors, focusing on a niche market of willing to buy customers, and then learning that sales system just spins them straight out of that plateau, because the plateau was a self-created one because they never spent any time actually trying to obtain clients after they opened their business.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So Matthew, you alluded to some of your own challenges early on that led you down the path of becoming the rapid growth guy. Who has been influential in your own career and pivotal for your own understanding of what needs to be done in your own growth?
So growing up, I didn't have a lot of resources to go to because, I had a reading speed of a sixth grader, so I wasn't the person that would just read a book on how to handle a situation. So I can honestly say that my father had a lot of influence on me. And there were a couple of things that happened there. And then after that, there were a couple of speakers that were really influential as well. Now, my father said two things. One was that I was just about to graduate high school, and I actually got into the top 20% in my state, which for someone with my disabilities was fantastic, but it exhausted me. And my father saw that if I had gone to university at that stage, looking down the barrel of another 4 or 5 years worth of studying, I probably wouldn't have made it through. I would have spun out a year or two later and probably just got a job and had a huge school debt that I had to pay off. He suggested to me that until I knew exactly what I wanted to do, then I should go and find that, spend a year just researching what I wanted to do. Now, I didn't quite listen completely. I tried to hide away in a real estate agent, but lots of things happen for a reason, and that real estate agent went bankrupt, and then all of a sudden, I found myself in door-to-door sales. 12 months later, I found myself running my own business, and within a very short period of time after that, I turned over my first $1 million. Now, how that happened was that, again, I was working for this sales company. I got promoted from salesperson to team leader to senior team leader to state manager of Adelaide. And every time, when I moved over to the state manager of Adelaide, was the first time they put me on a salary plus KPI commissions as opposed to commission only. And I went from a six-figure income to earning $35,000 plus KPIs once my sales team hit targets. Problem was, the sales team was the reason I got sent over there. They weren't performing. So I spent 3 months rebuilding their business and that team to the fact that it was actually outselling the two largest states in Australia. And then I got invited to come back. And I said to my boss, I said, I have been working hard to get back to a six-figure income here in Adelaide. When I come back to the head office, which was a wonderful promotion for me, you need to look after me for salary because I'm giving up another six-figure income to get promoted. He said he would. When I get there, I get moved to a $42,000 salary instead of $35,000. The problem with that was the KPIs, again, were so high that it would have taken me 6 to 7 months to get there and start obtaining my bonuses, which means I took a massive pay cut again to help this business out. And I said to them that this was a pay cut. And he said, the response I got was, Matt, you're 19 years old. Where else are you going to get that sort of salary? You should feel lucky. I went home and I spoke to my father and he said two things. One is that if you've got a job, you've already lost. The second thing he said to me was if you think you can go and start your own business, you've got nothing to lose. So storm the torpedoes and go and do it. Now that thought process is exactly correct. Now the truth is my father was only half right. People that have nothing to lose should take risks while they still can. And a lot of the times because you've got no family to pay for, you've got a lot higher chance of success, but also a lot more higher chance of failure because you don't think about all your actions as much. Now, the other half of this is that the people that have families to look after, they need to make more educated decisions. But the truth is that the only safe job you can have is a business that you own. Because the business that you own means that when things are doing really, really well, you reap all the benefits. And when you have a bad month or two, well, that's okay because you earn great money the other times. If you take on board the rapid growth methodology, though, that should never happen. Now, later down in life, there were a couple of other people that I found absolutely fantastic in my growth. One was a guy called Kerwin Ray. Now, Kerwin Ray is a wonderful speaker from Australia, and one of the things that he taught me was a questioning process, which took people through a series of questions from, I don't have any problems, to, okay, maybe I have a few problems, to, oh my gosh, let's fix these now, because it's really important to me and it's costing me a lot of money. And the other person that had a lot of effect on my life was a NLP teacher called Tad James. Now, Tad James is probably the most influential NLP influencer in the world right now. He learned from the person that NLP originated from called Richard Bandler. And what I learned was the psychology of thought. I started to understand how to really understand what my goals were, what I was trying to achieve. And I find that a lot of people growing up in business or in their own businesses or in careers, they seem to want to be, you know, the go-to guy for everything or the go-to girl for everything. And they've got so many goals and they're all so widely focused. They never seem to achieve anything. And they start to peter out at about the age 40 because they're like, well, I've done everything everyone told me I was supposed to do to be successful, yet I'm still not successful. Tad James helped me to understand exactly what I wanted to become laser focused and achieve the objectives that I wanted to achieve.
Interesting. And for those who don't know, what does NLP stand for?
It's neuro-linguistic programming. And what it is it's the psychology of thought. Some people will use meditation to help clean up what they're trying to focus on. Other people will use medication to try and control the stresses and anxieties in their life. And NLP is really about understanding how we think, why we have stress, why we have anxiety, why some people obtain success just through the strength of mind and why other people can't. And it helps you learn shortcuts in your own mind to create success.
Very good. So Matthew, what are you working on now? What do we have to look forward to from you?
Well, I like to say that, well, the first thing I should say, I never suggest an entrepreneur just starting out does more than one thing at once. Because until you build up enough resource and enough success and enough of a bank account, you should never do that. So what I predominantly focus on at the moment is my rapid growth consulting, which is, it's an eight-week program where I give people tasks and meet with people for 2 hours every 2 weeks over that 8 weeks. And that's, they walk out with a full unified message, a fully differentiated message, a niche market of willing to buy customers that they can go and target, the full package and pricing that they should work with, and a sales system to actually transfer those clients into paying clients. But the cool things that I'm working on right now are two. One is a sales scripter that actually helps you write a full sales script so that you can lead customers from I'm interested to them giving you the credit card details. See, so many people don't understand the value of sales scripting, and that's why I've got so many articles out in Entrepreneur and Top Sales World Magazine, those sorts of things, educating people that sales scripting does work. Most people just don't put enough practice in. Very similar to actors. You have good actors or bad actors based on how much time they spent learning and embodying the part that they're reading. So that's what I'm creating. It gives people the elevator pitch, the sales script, the conversational elevator pitch, how to sell from a podium, how to lead webinars, everything. It's all getting decoded into this scripting tool. The second thing I'm developing is due to the success of my Better Business Coach podcast, which gives away all the ideology, the sales training, and the worksheets to be the best business coach possible. I've given away 5 templates so far, and I get so many people asking me, can they get access to the 155 templates straight away? So what I'm building is the Better Business Coach University right now, and I've taken on 12 clients that are going to work with me over the next 3 months while I produce 10 videos a week that'll map in to those worksheets based on what they want most. And they'll ask me questions and I'm creating the full FAQs below those videos. So what we're going to have in about 3 months' time is we've already got the 155 templates because that's what I've spent the last 10 years perfecting and creating. However, on top of that, I'm going to have a video that gives you a walkthrough on how you do that with a client. Basically, what I'm trying to do is do all the hard work and heavy lifting for business coaches so they can just go out and do what they do best, which is coaching clients.
That's great. That's great. We look forward to seeing what comes out. Matthew, who do you know personally who's currently doing remarkable work?
Look, I think there's a great deal of people doing remarkable work. For me, when I was first starting to learn online business, Pat Flynn was a wonderful resource. His podcast offers the ability to learn huge amounts of information as long as you realize that he's an affiliate marketer and he makes money out of a lot of the products and services that he invites guests on to speak about. But what I found is, yes, I bought the occasional thing, but what I found was the resources and the education you got from listening to that podcast was fantastic. The second person that I found is doing remarkable work is Tim Ferriss. Tim Ferriss has got his 4-Hour Workweek blog, which really helps people understand how they should spend their time. And I think for a lot of people that are trying to transition out of working for an employer and moving into creating their own business, that is a vital first step.
You're right, because we can make more money, but we can't make more time.
Exactly right. And what most people spend their time doing is things that aren't going to make them more money, especially when it's their own business. Because what I mean by that is a lot of people spend their time on crafting a better type of product or making sure their office looks great or working on their brochure, but they don't spend any time working on their sales and marketing. And that's where the true money comes from for any business.
That's great. Well, Matthew, it's been really great having you on today talking about rapid growth. Which sounds very exciting, but as you mentioned several times during the course of our discussion, it has its ups and downs, and you've got to be really clear on what it is you're trying to achieve, how you're trying to achieve it, and make sure that you have the infrastructure and the systems in place to be able to support it. Because rapid growth, when it comes, it will come as it's called rapid. It comes quickly, and you've got to be able to deal with it. So thank you for... Yeah, so Matthew, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Matthew Pollard, the Rapid Growth Guy. Thank you again, Matthew, for joining us.
You're more than welcome, mate. I've been happy to be here.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.